Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good to be in God's house. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor, tell them this, say you look like you've lost 20 pounds. Tell them that, huh? A lot of them really did this week because they were fasting. It was this last week, you heard them talk about it. It was our corporate fast, and we did a 7-day fast this year. A lot of people and Christians have never been encouraged to fast. And the reason a lot of us have never been encouraged to fast is because Jesus said this. He said, when you pray, all right, when you pray, he said, go into your closet, shut the door, go into the secret place. How many are familiar with this passage? Matthew 6. Go in, shut the door, and when you pray in secret, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All right, so Jesus told us to pray in secret. But how many of y'all feel bad whenever we pray corporately together over a meal? Come on. How many of y'all feel bad whenever we pray together in church? Nobody does, right? Come on, somebody. So we've been trained that's all right. All right, Jesus said that in Matthew 6, but if you go to the book of Acts, where the early church applies the teachings of Jesus, you'll find that Jesus was addressing a religious spirit that loved to be heard praying in the streets to look holy. It's not that it's wrong to pray together, but how many know we need a private prayer life and we need a corporate prayer life as a church? Come on, somebody. There's no corporate prayer life, there will be no private prayer life because that's where it's modeled. All right, then Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast, he said what, church? He said, when you fast, fast like this. He said, don't look disfigured and disheveled, you know. You ought to be careful who you share that with. We as a community, we were fasting corporately, so we're going to encourage one another and talk together. But you don't go into work and just, you know, hunker down in a ball and say, I'm so fasting, it's terrible. You know, you don't do that, right? But in the book of Acts, you'll see where they took the teachings of Jesus and they saw that this was a spirit where people wanted attention. Don't give yourself to that. And then they fasted corporately. So we need corporate fasts and we need private, personal fasts. And it's the same as prayer, right? Then he goes on and says, when you give. Everybody say, when you give. He says, when you give, don't let your right hand see what your left hand gives. The word he uses there is for an alm. It's a gift to the poor. And he says, don't sound the trumpet like the religious leaders. There was literally this coffer set outside of the temple, history tells us, and it looked somewhat in a trumpet shape. And people would come and give alms to the poor in that coffer. And they would take the coins that were minted in their day and they would put a lot of them in that coffer to make it make a lot of noise so you would know somebody was giving big. So Jesus said, when you give, don't make a deal out of what you've given. But he says, when you give, you be discreet because you don't want to. How many know if you gave an alms to the poor, you would never want to hurt the dignity of the person that needed help? Amen? We don't want to hurt anybody's dignity. How many of you, I mean, we've all needed help sometime. Amen? But if you go to the book of Acts, you'll found out that they gave publicly and corporately as well. So listen, we've started this year off with praying and fasting. And we do that to give a portion, the first fruits to our God so he can help us and bless us. And I just want to let you know we're also going to do a time of giving that's over and above the tithe that's coming up the first couple of weeks in February. It's going to be our first fruits offering. Everybody say first fruits. And it's a gift over and above the regular tithe that we give to advance the house of God. And I'm telling you, whenever you do the three when you's, giving, praying, and fasting, I believe you got a threefold cord that cannot easily be broken. It's been about a year and a half since we've received a corporate offering over and above the tithe. And the last time we did the front of the building, how many are thankful this place no longer looks like a prison, but it looks like something outside? We were church in the prison. Now we you know, it looks good out there. So I feel bad that I haven't given you an opportunity to do that. Coming up first 2 weeks in February, I want you to start asking God, what would you have me do in that special time of giving? And you'll hear a little more about that. But let's pray and we're going to move right into the teaching of the word. Father, I thank you for the people under the sound of my voice right now. I thank you to give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God would say to the church. Lord, we declare that we're open to your command and to your instruction, and we're thankful for your word. Teach us today and show us where your voice is. And we say that we want to hear your voice. We want to know you supernaturally in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. They're going to throw a pickup on the screen in one moment. You're going to identify that. How many of you know where that chair comes from? Where does that chair come from? You've watched it. That's a chair from the show The Voice. And that's one of the singing shows that's become popular over the last decade in America. And the way it works, they have several judges up there. Blake Shelton, maybe Miley Cyrus is one of them right now. There's a couple of more. They change them so much I can't remember them. But the judges are up there, and they'll get somebody singing, and they can't see them singing. And they're just listening to the voice. Whenever they find a voice that they want to coach and they want to take on their team in the show, they got a big button they push, the chair spins around, the person and their family lose their mind on camera because their kid's going to get a shot, you know, at getting a recording deal. And it's the way The Voice works. You know, I know a little bit about the way some of these shows works because Jesse's sister was on American Idol. And in, I think it was the 9th season, she was on the show. She was number 12 in season number 9. And so we were around for some of the auditions. We were around for how some of these shows work. And I even went to one of the big auditions in Louisville for American Idol to see how it works and just to go with the girls. And, you know, I made it. I was number 13 that year, but they, you know, they didn't let me on the show because I said, I got ministry in my heart. I don't want to be a rock star. So I'm here ministering to you because I love you that much, all right? And I went and I watched them try out. And here's the way it is. You're in a massive stadium in Louisville, and you got these kids from everywhere that have shown in there. You know, they're going to be the next American Idol or the next Voice. And then down on the floor, there are people practicing their parts everywhere. It's like a musical tornado in there. People are walking around, they're singing, they're dancing, everybody. You're in there with all these artists. And then down on the floor where they're trying out, there are sets of judges everywhere. And one after another, man, they're running these kids through there. They're hopping up. They got like 30, 60 seconds to sing. And if they don't catch them right there, they're gone. And it is as distracting of an environment as you've ever been in. Just some of you singers will understand this. What if you're trying to sing a song and to sing a part? And somebody else comes right by you, and they start singing another song and another part on another key. Is that distracting? Does that mess you up or what? You know, in the midst of that, I don't know how they ever narrow it down to one voice. As a matter of fact, Carrie Underwood, who's incredibly gifted and's got star power, it took her multiple times to ever get through the first audition to be found. And now she's a staple in country music, has been for years. Why was it like that? It's because the environment is distracting. How many recognize the environment that we live in as Christians in America is distracting right now? Come on, there's one voice we really need, and there's one voice that can make us or break us. But there are a whole lot of voices around us all the time. And it can be a lot like living in a musical tornado. So how do I discern what is the voice of God? How do I discern what is the voice of my inner man? How do I discern what is the voice of the enemy? How do I discern what is a voice that will destroy me? You have to learn to discern where the one true voice is coming from. And today I'm telling you, we have the one true voice. It's been given to us by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. You can discern the voice of God and stay on track. If you have your Bible on you this morning, I want us to go to where God's given us His Word. 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 1, and I want to set the stage before I begin to go into this text. This is the time when Elijah lived on the earth. Elijah the prophet, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. And this Old Testament prophet has his biggest day of his ministry. You know, a lot of us, I think we bought into the idea that if I could ever just get this one big thing to come to pass in life, that everything after that's going to be roses, cookies, and cake. If I could just get to here, life would all be perfect. If I could just get over this big mountain, I would never have another issue. Come on, how many of y'all have ever bought into the fantasy if you could just get this win, life would become easy? Well, I'm telling you, once you get a win, how many know there's another game to play? It never ends, right? There will always be mountains. There will always be valleys. There's always going to be a next hurdle to climb. And Elijah, he goes up on Mount Carmel. They're going to put up some pictures of Mount Carmel in 1 second. Carmel, depends on what part of the country you're from. I took that picture standing on that mountain. It was a clear day. You can see all the way down to the Mediterranean Sea. And just so you know, if you are a first-time guest, and you fill out that guest card and take it back here, you'll get a trip, a chance to win a trip. You won't get a trip. All right. You get a chance to win a trip to go to Israel with us free at the end of the year. That's a pretty cool deal, huh? That way I can get your information. I can sell it to telemarketers. It's an awesome scam. Now, I'm not going to sell your information. It'll all be used in-house, all right? So right there, I love Israel. Here's some more pics. And they'll put two or three pics up. And there's one pic up on Mount Carmel. It's a funny pic. Y'all put up the one funny pic on there. See if they throw it up right there. You can start no fires on Mount Carmel, or Carmel, depends on how you're going to say it. And here's the reason, you know, it's kind of funny, it's ironic, right? Because what did Elijah do on this mountain? Called down fire from heaven, right? That's what he did. And here's what happens. There's a time in Israel's history where there was a wicked king and queen by the name of Ahab and Jezebel. And they worshiped false gods, and they led the entire nation to defile themselves by worshiping false gods. And it ends up in a prophetic duel where the prophets of Baal, which was Jezebel's gods, and then Elijah, the prophet of the one true living God, they met on top of that mountain you saw 1 second ago. And they said, listen, both of them built altars to their God in front of all of Israel. And they said, if Baal is the true living God, he will send fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. And then Elijah came out and he said, if my God is the true and living God, he'll send fire to receive our sacrifice. And Elijah poured water all over that sacrifice. Because how many of you know when God's on your side, all things are possible. And the prophets of Baal prayed and nothing happened. Now I love it. Elijah mocked him. He said, your God must be on vacation. Your God must be in the bathroom. I feel better about my sarcasm when I read the life of Elijah. It like validates me in so many ways. And then the prophet, the man of God, began to pray. And the man of God asked God to send fire to show his name and for the sake of the nation of Israel. And all of a sudden, fire fell from heaven. And the Bible says it licked up the sacrifice and all of the water around it. All the nation of Israel fell to their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. I mean, that's a pretty amazing day to be a part of. Man, this prophet was there in the midst of that. That's like a massive win. People are going to talk about that till Jesus returns. But the thing you really are going to have to hear, on the days you got great victory, typically you need the voice of God, but you can kind of be in just cruise control, right? Things are working for you. But how many know things aren't always working for you in life? How many of y'all ever had some times where it was hard to discern what God was doing? Anybody ever had some confusing times where you felt like you're floating through the fog or you can't see the road? It's like being in a snowstorm. You know, the snowstorms out west, I used to live out there, they can get so thick, you can be 100 yards from your house and die in your car because you can't see where to go if you run out of gas. See, sometimes life gets like that, and that's when we're going to need to learn to discern the voice of God. Right after that, 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 12, it says this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life. Come on, the prophet's praying to die. Take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. And then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights. Man, he gets angel food, and he does a 40-day fast there. That's pretty awesome. As far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. It's interesting that the prophet of God has the biggest win of his life. And the next day, one wicked queen, whom God had just killed all of her prophets with a supernatural sign, just right before that, one wicked queen issues a death threat to Elijah. And that death threat so goes down into his spirit that it takes that powerful, bold man of God and it makes him crumble and it makes him afraid and it makes him run for his life like a coward. It's amazing what the power of the wrong voice can do in your life. You know, you have to be careful in life that you're not internalizing the wrong voices. You have to be careful in life that you don't allow the voice of the enemy to come and to plague you. What Elijah did is he allowed that voice to come to him and it stunted his spirit man. This is a guy that knew the voice of God. Come on. This is a guy that delivered the word of God. He was the voice of God to Israel. And all of a sudden, he opens up his heart, he opens up his spirit to the wrong voice. And when the wrong voice comes into his life, it begins to turn him from what God created him to be into a coward. You know what the voice of the enemy will do in your life? The voice of the enemy will take a bold man, it'll take a strong man, it'll take a woman of God and faith, and it'll turn them into a coward. So you have to be careful that you turn off the wrong voices in your life. Turn to your neighbor and just say, shut off the wrong voices. Tell them that this morning. Man, you have to turn off the wrong voices. Listen, church, voices are powerful. Voices determine choices. Let's say that out loud. Say, voices determine choices. Man, the voice I heed influences the choices I make. Voices determine your destiny. Voices determine your worldview. Voices determine your faith life. Voices determine your family life. Come on, somebody. Voices influence our choices. So I have to turn the wrong voices off. You know, I've seen people heed the wrong voices and make the craziest turns in life. And I myself have heard the wrong voice before and listened to it and allow it to take root in my life. And I've had it affect me in different ways. You know, here's some different ways I believe we as Americans right now are allowing the wrong voice into our life. One of it is very simple. Preachers have been preaching on it since the beginning of the advent of this device, and that is the television. Everybody say the TV. You know, I found an article this week, according to the New York Times, that the average American right now watches 5 hours and 4 minutes of television a day. Just on a five-day work week, we're talking over 20 hours of television time. Now, I know that's not you because you spend all that time praying, fasting, studying the scriptures, reading the Bible, helping little old ladies across the street and stuff like that. But those other Americans, come on, those people, they're spending 20 hours a week. Now, they used to preach it like this. A television is a tell-a-vision, right? It's whoever's creating that content, their vision for your life. Their vision for your worldview, their vision for your outlook. How many of y'all would agree with me that the television has massively affected the American culture over the last 20 years? I mean, things that were just unspeakable 20 years ago, now they're like, yeah, well, we ought to be teaching that in the school system. How did that happen? It was a television, right? And then that same article says that TV is just the 5 hours. There are five more hours of information we're consuming that come through our laptops, through our browsers, through our cell phones, and through our tablets, which racks up the total of we spend 10 hours consuming content from the TV and from the internet, and we wonder why it's getting harder to pastor people and to get a solid morality into our churches. It's because we've heeded the wrong voice. Listen, that voice affects your choice in your life. If you want to get a quick win, man, turn some of that stuff off, dial it back, set it down. I'm not saying it's evil. I use it. I watched the movie yesterday, but I'm not going to let that thing rule my life. There's only one image I'm bowing to, and that's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm not going to bow to an idol all the time. Listen, don't hear me say it's all bad. I think we as the church ought to own the airwaves. We better own the airwaves. Talking 10 hours a day, right? We better be on top of that. But you got to watch because it'll start to affect you. You know, of the 5 hours we're watching, there's an article in TechCrunch. And in TechCrunch, it says that half of that time is spent on social media. So half of our time where we're letting another voice in our life, we're just looking at whoever's social media line they throw up there. And we're letting their worldview influence and affect our life. And then you start comparing yourself one to another. How many know it's an unwise thing to ever do? You start looking and thinking, well, these people have this going on and I don't. It's a negative voice. You have to shut that voice off. You can't let it have you. Here's another thing about the phone in our pocket. As far as it, maybe not just being a voice, but literally there was another article in TechCrunch where people have studied these devices. And they say these devices, and I'm for the device, but here's one of the side effects of the device, okay? How many of y'all have a smartphone in your pocket? Well, actually, the smartphone might be more accurately labeled a dumb phone. All right? How many of y'all ever feel yourself getting dumber when you look at that thing? It's like somebody's talking to me. It's like, I'm trying to listen to you right now, but I've loved you. You had me from hello, and I just can't. Come on, the pool, right? Sometimes I catch myself. My kids are talking to me. And I'm like, I want to listen to you. You're my child, you're my legacy, you're my heritage. You look like me. You are like a little me, but I can't right now because I'm looking at... Come on, how many parents would say you've been there before? All right, that pull is an actual physiological response. And they say now that we can't turn off what we're doing here, it's got us so much. It's hooked into our psyche and the way our sensors fire in our brain so much that it's hard for us to focus now. We're losing our focus. And they've done studies on just simple mathematical equations where they've taken people, they put them in a room with no cell phone, and they have them do these mathematical equations. And then they have another group that takes their cell phone in and doesn't even have it on, but has it on the counter or on the table in front of them. And they're doing their work, and the anticipation of the call, the text, or the email is so dividing, they can't even focus to stay with the mathematics that are simple mathematics. Come on, how many know that voice, constant coming, might not be helping us, might be hurting us? I'm thankful that I don't have to sit in the office all day to get a call. But how many know there's a time on anything where enough is enough, right? Let it, you got to use it, but not let it use you. Somebody give God a hand clap if you think that's good, preacher. You got to watch the voices. And when the wrong voice has too much of you, you have to learn to turn it off. Turn it off. There's some family members you need to turn off. There's some friends. I've been friends with them for a year, but listen, that for years, those friends, you got some friends you need to turn off. There's some people at the workplace, you're taking too much stock in what they're saying. You got to know when to turn it off. There's a time you have to cut it, you have to count your losses, and you got to go on in life. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm talking about not heeding the wrong voice. The wrong voice will set you up for failure. See, here's why it'll set you up for failure. What Elijah did is he let Jezebel threaten him, one threat. By tomorrow, you'll be a dead man. And here's what happens. Even, number one, you got to turn off the wrong voices. Number two, you have to control the inner me. A lot of times what happens is the voice of the enemy now becomes the voice of your inner me. And that's when you're really in trouble. When the voice of the enemy becomes the voice of your inner me, you're in trouble. So Jezebel says, by tomorrow you'll be a dead man. And Elijah says he believes it. It gets internalized with Elijah. And he's like, wow, she's going to take my life. And this mighty prophet of God then runs, because the voice of the enemy has become the voice of the enemy. And now he runs for his life. He wants to die. He's so bent on dying, he drops off his servant, the guy that's been with him for years in another town. He retreats to a cave even after an angel comes to minister to him. And he's totally just hung in that place. You know, there's been times that my inner me has become the voice of my enemy. You ever been where it's like, even though 99.9% of your life was good, there was a 0.1% voice that was ruling the inside of your life? Has anybody ever been there? It's like I'm with my kids, I'm at the park, man, the sky is blue, the birds are chirping, and all I can think about is the one little thing that's wrong in my life right now. When I should be enjoying life and spending time with my family, the voice of my enemy has become the voice of my inner me, and I can't get past it. You got to be careful that you don't let the voice of your enemy become the voice of your inner me. Listen, what's on the inside of a man and the prevailing thought and the meditation of his heart or woman, it's what controls us. I'm telling you, the Bible says this, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Say that out loud with me. Say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of my heart is where my life flows from. The Bible says this, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. My life is not coming from some outside influence. My life is not controlled by a political party. My life is not controlled by the national economy. My life is not controlled by the spirit of my coworkers. My life is not even controlled by my family. They may mess you up starting you off, but come on. When you get a certain age in life, now it's time for somebody else to be controlling your life. I'll tell you where our life flows from. My life flows out of my heart. Come on, just say it out loud. Say, my life flows out of my heart. Say it again, my life flows out of my heart. That's why you have to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of your life. Elijah allows the wrong voice to come on the inside of him, and it starts guarding his life. The prophet becomes pathetic. Because listen, when you let the voice of the enemy become the voice of the inner me, you will become a victim in life. There's one thing I know that God has not designed you to be. He has not designed you to be a victim. You are designed by God to be a victor. You're designed by God to be an overcomer. You're designed by God to be a climber and an achiever. You are not designed by our God to be a victim. Come on, somebody. You know, I'm thankful for the voices that have helped me in good ways. You know, I still hear the voice. I can hear the voice of my father. My father's been gone for over 12 years now. I can hear him telling me to stand up straight. Come on, stand up straight, son. Hold your shoulders back. If I start slumping, I'm looking for his hand to hit me in the chest. Bam, put your shoulders back. Stand up, look like somebody. You know, it was that kind of thing. And he was a good man. He wasn't like overly lovey. He was a cowboy kind of guy. But I still hear his voice, and it guides me at times. I had a coach playing football coming up. He coached us. Come on, let's give all the coaches a big hand clap. All the ones that deal with our kids. I love coaches. And I'm telling you, the crazier the coach is, the more I love them by nature. Huh? There's nothing better than a crazy football or wrestling coach. I love them. And I know it's not like culturally convenient anymore for coaches to be hardcore, but those coaches made people. And I had one of those growing up. He had control over the classroom. His name was Coach Stinson. And I'll tell you, you couldn't hear a pin drop in his classroom, because if a pin dropped, somebody was getting paddled. And that's just the way it was, you know. You're like, oh, my Lord, Stinson is looking at me. Help me, Jesus. You're like praying the rosary if you're Catholic. You're talking in tongues if you're Pentecostal. You're like quoting Billy Graham if you're Baptist. It went all the way around. Stinson was looking at you. Come on, you knew you were in trouble. And Coach Stinson, he would have us as little bitty boys. And I can see his eyes. He's looking at you. He'd say, be aggressive. If you held back, I don't mind a mistake, but it better be an aggressive mistake. Be aggressive. I got in my first wrestling match. I was like 6 years old. I couldn't beat the kid I was wrestling. I punched him in the face and cussed out loud. I embarrassed my mother for years. But it was Stinson's voice telling me to be aggressive. Now, I'll tell you, when life gets tough, the only thing, I mean, I still hear him talking to me. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for all the people that have helped us, right? Just hear that voice, the right voices. Man, I hear the voice of God. You know what the voice of God sounds like? It sounds like the scripture. The only way we know the voice of God, if it doesn't line up with this, it's not the voice of God. So the more you spend time with this, you learn to discern what the voice of God is. I've heard people get the voice of the enemy, and it become their enemy because they're not lined up with this. I'll give you an example. I got some close to home, but I'm not going to tell them because they're too close to home. But I'll tell you one from a pastor, a friend from El Paso. He's an acquaintance of mine, a good friend of my father-in-law. And he had a guy in his church. He pastors a large church in El Paso. And this guy's like if Dirty Harry were to teach the faith message. That's what this pastor's like. He's a great man of God. He's a man of discipline, but he looks like Clint Eastwood. He has a church. God's grown it to about 20,000 down there in El Paso. How many of y'all believe God could do something like that in our part of the world and expand the church? I love church growth. And he had a guy come to him, and I've seen something like this happen personally before. Guy came to him and said, listen, pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want you to agree with me in prayer. And he says, why do you want me to agree with you in prayer? He said, because I'm supposed to marry that woman. And he points to a woman across the crowd. She's supposed to be my wife. God's spoken to me. I'm going to marry her. And the pastor says, well, sir, this is Pastor Neiman. He says, sir, I'd love to agree with you on something. But if you think God told you that you're going to marry that woman, you've heard the wrong voice. He says, well, that's not true. I know God's spoken to me. You saying I can't hear from God? And he said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. He says, why are you saying that? He said, because that woman is married to that man right there. And he's like, well, God spoke. He said, no, God didn't spoke. God said, what he puts together, let no man. Everybody say no man. No man put asunder. So you must be heeding the wrong voice. And if you keep listening to that voice, it's going to guide you the wrong way. And so this guy starts writing hate mail to him and all that kind of stuff. You're so mean. And he's like, he doesn't know how nice I was to him. Because if that oil hand husband of that woman would have found out what he said, he would have been buried in the desert outside of El Paso. Most loving thing I could have done is correct him. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for the word of God. It is the voice. Come on, let's really give him a hand clap for his word today. Anybody thankful for the Bible? Lord, we thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the word of God. Yeah, you can stand up on your feet. Come on, go on. Come on, let's keep worshiping him for one moment. We thank you, Lord, for your words. Man, let's turn off the wrong voices. Turn off that voice. Some of you ladies, you see that heavily photoshopped woman on the front of a magazine? How many of that's a lying voice? It's not reality, is it? Can't be reality. There's a Barbie doll out in my car right now. You know, the girls like playing with it. They got to understand that if a woman were built like Barbie, she would be an alien because that's not how. It's a lie, right? It's a lying voice. That social media account where those two people are always so in love. Oh, I just love my man. I love my woman, my smoking hot wife, my smoking white husband's like, get a room already. Huh? You know that they're not talking about, oh, we just fought like crackheads in the front yard. Here's a picture of us on Instagram rolling around the snow. Here's a picture of my husband hating my mother right now. Huh? It's a lying voice, isn't it? The one-upmanship and stuff like that, man. I'm telling you, it's a harder time. There's so much access, so many voices. It's just like that stadium. There's people singing everywhere. How do you ever find the voice? Well, there's people singing everywhere. How do you find the voice of God? Well, Elijah gets all messed up because of the voices. And he gets up in a cave, and he's hiding out, and he wants to die. And all of a sudden, God speaks to him. And he says, Elijah, get up out of your pity. Get up out of your self-loathing. Now I want you to come outside and stand in my presence. I mean, that's why we need to be in church. How many know we're right here in the presence of God? God can correct us. God can direct us. God can help us. I need this environment in my life, and you need it too. And he says, stand before the Lord. And then the Bible says all these manifestations start happening. Man, wind comes by. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. It was a distraction. If we could learn to know what a distraction is and know what life is, know what the voice of life is. Then after that, an earthquake came. The place was shaken and stuff was happening. The Bible says the Lord was not in the earthquake. Just more distraction. Then a fire hits the mountain. And the fire rolls down, but the Lord's not in the fire. And then after that, says the Lord spoke to Elijah. And it came in a still, small voice. Man, a lot of people are so looking for the spectacular that they miss the supernatural. The supernatural does not have to be spectacular. Most of the direction I ever had from God, it came in a still, small voice. And it was the Lord whispering the scripture I'd read back to me. I'll tell you, open up the Bible, the Word of God. In it, you'll find the still, small voice of God. You got the answer right here, church. You want to build your faith? Here's the still, small voice. You want a marriage that wins? Here's the still, small voice. You need wisdom for a business? Here's the still, small voice. Give yourself to prayer. The still, small voice will be there. Come on, open your heart and worship. How many of you have ever had God speak to you in a time of worship? I'll tell you, you can get so much more in worship like this than you'll ever get like this. This is a closed door. This is an open door. I'm telling you, God's not trying to hide his voice from you. God's trying to let you find his voice. You can discern the voice of God. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me." I want to pray for you today that that still small voice would become abundantly clear in your life. I want to pray for you today that the distractions would drop and you would learn to discern where that word of God, that voice of God is in the Bible and let it flow up out of you. Just close your eyes for one moment and we're going to pray. Father, I pray now. If you're comfortable with it, you may want to lift a hand to heaven. Lord, we've been seeking you this week. We've been seeking the oil, the Spirit of God. And Lord, we declare that we want to seek the voice. We want the voice of God, the voice of the Bible in every area of our life. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts to receive from the Word. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would come and show us the truth of your Word. I pray that we would apply that Word appropriately. I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to us loudly. I declare right now that we're going to begin to hear that still small voice. And even though it's small, it'll be loud in a way. It's small, but we'll know, man, that's God. That lines up with the Word. That's him speaking to us. So right now I pray for direction for those that need direction. If you need direction in some major area of your life right now, man, receive direction in Jesus' mighty name. If you need encouragement from the Word of the Lord right now, receive encouragement in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you need just a fresh help, you're tired and you're weary, I declare the Word of the Lord is coming to you. And there's a freshness in the Spirit. I declare that you're going to hear the still, small voice in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Come on, he wants us to hear him. Let's give him a hand clap for his access he's given to us. Praise God.